Forward in Faith. It's next. Never has the world been more confused and the scriptures been more exciting than today. Forward in Faith invites you to listen to the international voice of the Church of God, Pastor Loran Livingston, as he ministers to his vast congregation of the Central Church of God in Charlotte, North Carolina. Stay with us now as Loran gives answers from God's Word to guide you forward in faith. And now, here's Loran Livingston.
If we ever get to the place that the preaching of the cross is boring, if we ever arrive at the place where we think we understand the cross, we have totally missed it. As long as you live, and I don't care how much you pray and read and study, you will never grasp what God did when he allowed his son to go to the cross. And God did it. You will never fathom the depths of the agony of Jesus Christ. Don't try to figure out what it would feel like to have a nail driven through your hand. Forget it. Or to have your face beaten beyond recognition. Don't even go there. This was much more than physical pain. This was a spiritual, unbelievably miserable place on the cross where Jesus Christ took the sins of the whole world. You can't get that. I can't get it. Of every person who has ever lived or will ever live, he has taken those sins in his body. And the thing that was the most horrible for Christ was that for the first time in all of eternity, he was separated from the Godhead. He was still God, but he was separated from his Father. We cannot fathom that. I'm standing here a little embarrassed that I'm even trying to describe it. But we will spend eternity wondering at what God did for us. A God who has never done anybody wrong, but was totally wronged by everybody. A totally just, righteous, and holy God doing this for a totally lost, inhumane race of people who would nail him to a cross, who are so wicked that even in the book of Revelation, when God is pouring out his wrath, instead of crying out for help and repentance, they rail at God and do not repent of their sins. All we can do is just kind of sit and wait for the Holy Spirit to reveal this to us. But the cross is the reason every one of us is here today. And not one of us should glory in anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my life. It's our life, the cross, not the church. Not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The cross. The ignominious cross of Jesus Christ. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. They can't get it. They don't understand that God would lay on him the iniquity of us all. To the intelligent people, well, it's just beyond them. That's foolishness. And that's why God said his foolishness is wiser than the wisdom of men. Because this is God's plan. And if you're sitting here today and you can say the name of Jesus and know in your heart that you've been rescued from your sins and saved and you have eternal life, There shouldn't be 1 ounce or shade of sadness in your soul right now. Because whatever it is in your emotions or in your life today that has somewhat caused you to fall into a funk is going to pass away. But what He has done for you will never pass away. It is eternal. Throughout the scriptures, we see God and His goodness. It's only when we come to the cross in the Gospels that we begin to see the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul talked a number of times, especially in the letter to the Corinthians, the second letter, about not losing heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Listen to me, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. There is no reason today for any of you to lose heart. Don't let finances, don't let people, don't let any situation in this world, which is passing away, cause you to lose heart. If there's anything that should strengthen your heart, it is the fact that the cross has imparted God's life into you and you will never perish. Don't lose heart. I know if you watch the news, you'll lose heart. You're wondering how quick will ISIS get here. Some of you are already wondering about the future of the grandchildren or the children. Folks, don't lose heart. There is a God in heaven, but He's not separated from us. He is here among us. This God abides in us. He's present right now. There is no reason to lose heart, no reason to have fear, no reason to be upset, because God is on the throne. The sovereign and eternal God is in charge of everything that happens down here. And sometimes when you find yourself losing heart, you don't really expect the Lord to show up, because in the church in America, we expect to pick ourselves up and get it fixed. Throw your chin up in the air. Be tough, we say. But God doesn't say that. God says, let me help you. God appears when you are weakest and least able to take another step. He will never fail you. He will not give up on you. You may have fallen to some depths you didn't think you could fall to as a believer recently. The disappointments in your life may have driven you to the bottom. Things have not turned out the way you thought they would, and they're even getting worse. Everybody in this building will tell you, life did not turn out the way you thought it would. And somehow we think that all of that constitutes that God is distant, or that we hurt Him so badly, or we were so disobedient that we brought it on ourselves. God does not want you to ever say that or think that again. God is in everything that's happened in your life. God was the instrument of it. God used the sick and the bad and the ugly and the good and the golden to shape you and form you. And that's why that verse says, even though our outward man is perishing, it's dying, the inward man is being renewed day after day. This body is dying, but God inside of me is getting stronger and stronger. The body's getting older and older, but the spirit is getting younger and younger. It's not one in the same. This is going to pass away. But what God has done inside of you will never pass away. And He's used everything. Everything. Everything that you've done, everything that's happened to you, God has used it as an instrument, a tool, of fashioning you so that you might be made into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's a good God. There are some people in the scriptures that lost heart. And I want to show you this morning that even though they did, God was not disappointed in them. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and you see the kindness of God at work. When Adam and Eve sinned, you know what I think I'll do? Take me to John 1:48, if you would. Yeah, this is where I want to go. One day Jesus was standing there. His ministry had not yet begun. His disciples were being formed and he was choosing. And Philip brought this guy named Nathanael. Jesus looked at Nathanael and said to him, how do you know me? Nathanael said. Because Jesus looked at him and said, ah, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Fig tree? Jesus said, I saw you when you were sitting under that fig tree. And you thought everything was over and done. Well, then I got interested in something. This illustration and that verse started coming to me about trees and people sitting under trees. That's what draws me to Genesis chapter 3. After Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says they hid among the trees. Now, there's something as we go through Scripture you'll see about people sitting under trees. It's never good. So here are Adam and Eve. They've quickly grabbed some big old leaves. I hope they were from a banana tree or something like that. And they've rapidly sewn something together to hide their nakedness. And God says, Adam, where are you? Now you know God knew where Adam was. So the question was not for God, it was for Adam. Adam, do you know where you are now? God's asking some of you today, do you know where you are? I know where you are, but do you know where you are? Do you know where you've landed? Do you understand the circumstance and the situation of your life? Where are you? And they came out and said, well, we were naked and we clothed ourselves and the devil made us do it and Eve made me eat it. And God said, don't want to hear it. But God himself made some clothes for them. God did not come angrily. There was no wrath being poured out, no lightning, no thunder. It's just God saying, you messed up, but I'm going to cover it up because I love you. And I want somebody to hear this minister today. You messed up. But God, through the cross, can cover it up and restore you to a right relationship with him. Then we find this fellow Jonah. And the Bible says the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. What kind of misery? So he's sitting under whatever this plant is, enough to shade him from the sun. What's his misery? He doesn't like certain people. What a miserable life to be upset with God when your enemy gets blessed. What a miserable life to still be mad at someone who broke your heart. Or someone whose skin is not your color. Or someone who doesn't live in your echelon of society. Someone that took your job. Someone that took your man. Or your virginity. Someone that took your innocence. Sitting under a tree, mad at God because he's about to save people from their sins. But those people weren't his skin color. They weren't his culture. And nothing has changed. Amen. Nothing. I just want to say to all colors and all kinds of people here today, as long as you harbor ill will or bad feelings towards anybody, especially because they're a different color, you are a miserable wretch. You have been taught that your anger is justified. You have had a program put inside of your computer that says you can act this way because you've been done wrong. But I have to come and tell you this morning that we need to be deprogrammed. God loves your enemies. You've got to love your enemies. I'll preach this till I drop dead. There is no justification of any sort to look down on and resent people who aren't like you. I'm talking to everybody. And I'm not saying this for the first time ever. You've heard it before. Everybody in here doesn't like somebody. Every group, every color, every kind, every class in here knows of some group you don't like. And you feel justified in doing so because they are that way. And you know how they are. And that's the way they act. Why are you laughing? My heart's breaking right now. Because that's the sin in the body of Christ. A justified, yes, even overlooked sin that keeps us from being able to walk in the love of God and have the Holy Ghost be shed abroad in our hearts. It's the sin that we encounter every time we come together and do this together, but then when we walk out, we separate again. Here we go. Somehow, it has to be proclaimed in churches that we ought not to be prejudiced. Some of you won't like it. I don't even want to say it, but I'm a minister. It is not right for black churches to be upset when black people go to a white church. And it happens all the time. Why do you want to go sit under the man? Well, it could be, sir, that they're tired of hearing about politics and foolishness, and they're looking for somebody to feed their soul from the Word of God. Same way with Hispanics. They can't believe that all the Hispanics wouldn't go to their church. It's our people, our people, our people, our people. It's just as wrong. Same thing with white people. You won't go to many churches in this town today and see this kind of mixture. And some of the biggest with the most wealthy people will be the lightest in color. And they don't want to change. I'm preaching really slow, am I not? Yeah, I'm preaching the truth.
Yes, sir.
See, if you sit under a tree all the time and seethe about them and what they're doing and what's going to happen and what didn't happen, you'll be miserable the rest of your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's not all. I found this fella named Elijah. I'd be dog if he wasn't sitting under a tree. But guess when he was sitting under a tree? After God had used him most mightily. After he had killed false prophets and proclaimed the truth. My God, he was a giant. Here's the deal. He could do it in public. But when he got by himself, when all that was over, when the crowd was gone, he wasn't quite as bombastic. And he realized, I'm just a man. And I was caught up in that moment. Now I'm going to have to live up to what I preached and maybe pay for what I did. Preachers go through this all the time. Oh, it's easy to get up here and do what I'm doing. But you don't want to go home with us, do they, Sandra? And any minister, Sam, you know, any minister up here, anybody that preaches in prison, we can get up in front of those tough guys and gals and say, I'll tell you one thing. But then you get home all alone. And Elijah found himself under that juniper tree. One translation calls it a broom tree. And he said, Lord, kill me. Just kill me. I ain't who I said I was. I'm not the man I think they think I am, because I know what I feel right now, and it's nothing like I felt a while ago. Lord, just kill me. And the Lord sent an angel and said, just take a nap. Just take a nap. And he took a nap. When he woke up, the angel had made him some fresh bread. He ate the fresh bread and said, now go back to sleep, take another nap, because although you were depressed and ready to die, there's still work to be done, and you're going to need this food that I'm giving you, because I'm about to take you somewhere you've never been before, and I'm going to show you something you've never seen before. And if you thought I was strong that day when I sent down fire from heaven, you just wait till I get you up on that mountain in that cave and I pass by you. And you see the hinder parts of me. And then I speak to you in a whisper. Not in a thunderbolt. Not in lightning. Not in an earthquake. Not in a wind. But a whisper.
Amen.
What's all this about, preacher? Because some of you feel like you have failed God so miserably. You had such a stinging, burning testimony. But you messed up. And now you think people think you're a hypocrite, and you were so strong with your family. You told them you'd never do this again. You were the leader. But you messed up. And now here you sit. Nobody's going to listen to me ever again. Oh, yes, they will. Because God's going to take this, and he's going to put you to sleep, let you rest, feed you right, get you up, and keep you going. Because they are going to see. Even when a child of God falls down, they recognize it. They call on God. They get back up and they keep on going. But I found another one too. But it wasn't a person. It was a people. In Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. They're sitting under the willow trees. You know what they're doing? They're hanging their harps up saying, we can't play. For there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song. And those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Is that where you are? You're not in the place you want to be, so you can't sing. You're with people you don't like, so you can't sing. You got a job you cannot take anymore, but so you can't sing. You don't have the marriage you want. You don't have the money you want. You don't have the house you've always dreamed of, so you can't sing. Well, there's nothing worse than being blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus and then sitting under a tree, hanging up your harp and saying, I can't sing till things get better. I can't sing till my life is fixed. I can't sing till I get what I've always wanted. And yet, their enemies were saying, let's hear the song you guys used to sing. Sing of your God. Tell us of his goodness. We can't. We can't do that till everything is just right. And they said, must not be much of a song. Must not be much of a God. Say, God does not want you to think you can't praise and sing till everything is right. Nothing's going to be right ever on this earth. The right time to praise him is right where you are right now. The right time to praise him is when you're under the tree. Pull your harp down and sing a song to the Lord. I think I made myself perfectly clear that time, didn't I? So wonder what the significance of Nathanael being under that fig tree is. Hey, before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. Doesn't tell us why he was there. But if you go on these other scriptures, he wasn't there because he was happy. I guarantee you, he was sitting there depressed, wondering what's going to happen next. Life is all to pieces. He's empty. He's tired. He's weary. I don't know. But what he didn't know was that Jesus knew. And Jesus was watching. And I want somebody here today to understand, you may be sitting under a tree and your life is over and you don't even care. You can't sing a song. You don't like the people around you. You just wish you could die. But Jesus is watching. And Jesus has a call on you. And Jesus has a blessing for you. And when Nathanael said, you must be the master. You must be Messiah. You must be Rabbi. Jesus said, you mean you think I'm Rabbi or Master or Lord because I showed you that? Wait till you see what's coming next. Ah, yes. From henceforth, you're going to see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So I came with good news for somebody today. That tree is not your home. And you don't have to sit there not 1 minute more today. Stand up right now. You do not have to sit under that tree not 1 minute more.
You may receive an audio CD of the message you've just heard for a $5 contribution. In requesting CDs, please give the date on which you heard the broadcast. Write to Forward in Faith, P.O. Box 2430, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Or you may order through our toll-free number, 1-800-251-4024. Again, that number is 1-800-251-4024. Forward in Faith is a listener-supported broadcast. Please send your contributions to Forward in Faith, P.O. Box 2430, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320.